Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hiram1555.tumblr.com. Twitter.com/Hiram1555. Facebook.com/Hiram1555. BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555. And our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Come again, my beloved family. Let me say to you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth anywhere, bar none, on the web. This is your platform for black education, edification, and liberation, and empowerment. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled, The Debt Tsunami is Drowning the Western World. Before we go into that, we'd like to ask you all to go over there to the Health Blaze and shop, get all your all-natural care products there, black-owned, black-operated. Show your love, go over there, sign up, become a site member, get your 10-15% discount off. Please show your love, and go to the Hiram1555 blog, donate, and become a premium member where you get all the latest in-depth articles with proof, 100% proof about what's going on. Please do that, all right? Now let's go into our show. The debt tsunami is drowning the Western world. Oh, brothers and sisters. Oh, brothers and sisters. It's a beautiful day to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. America is catching hell. I was listening to some news clips on YouTube, on my TV, and on the satellite, right? Because satellite feeds, you get some things that you don't get on the normal cable. And I was listening to this interview of Duterte. Duterte. He is the president of the Philippines, and he was talking to America. He was addressing a Filipino crowd. Robert Duterte, I think that's his name. Excuse me. I might be wrong. But anyway, he was addressing a Filipino youth group or something like that. But at the same time, his message was to America. And if I listened to this guy, I thought to myself, I said, wow, smaller nations without the military capacity to challenge America are challenging America openly, politically, economically, and also geopolitically. This is unheard of in such a way. If you look at the Philippines, if you look at Venezuela, if you look at Syria, think about how Syria, even in this state right now, have rebuffed imperial designs for the last 8 years or more. Think about that. Think about how all of these other nations are bucking up against all of the dictators that America puts in power in these foreign lands to wage war on their brothers. When you think about that, and you think about what's going on in Venezuela and in Colombia and in, Honduras and all of these nations where America has deposited leaders trying to take over nations and stuff, and how they're bucking up against these leaders and bucking up against American power, something is going on behind the scenes. Because remember, this was virtually impossible 25 years ago. This was virtually impossible 30 years ago. So when we look at these things and when we hear these things, we have to go behind the scene and wonder, what is different today from 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago? We are looking at the empire that is completely stretched thin around the globe. There's an old saying, he who defends everything defends nothing, right? So America has an imperial basis according to, I'm not talking about according to any alternative media site, because some say 800, some say 900, some say even 1,000. And some say 300 to 400 bases America has around the globe. I'm talking about a congressional report that was done by one of the top generals in the military, as he had to be questioned by Congress. We had it on this show last year, I believe it was, or one that we played. I read the actual quotes from the congressional report. So if you want to go back and look last year and just go over old shows, you might be able to come up and hear it. But According to him, America has over 5,000, listen to me good, over 5,000 military bases or facilities or logistical, whatever you want to call them, positions in other nations around the globe. Over 5,000. This is true. This is irrefutable. I'm not making this number up. This number was given in a congressional report by a top general in the Pentagon. Okay? And I was quoting him on one of the shows. And it threw me for a loop when I read it. I was like, wow, over 5,000. This blows every estimate out of the water multiple times over. Now, look what I'm telling you. To have all of these bases costs money. This is why America is trying to white mail her stooges in Europe to put more military spending in play so that America can take some of that military spending off her own budget and she can still dominate. This is why she has white mailed the South Korean government. Think about this. You are occupiers of that land and you force the government of South Korea to come to your side of the table and pay your occupation. That's insanity, brothers and sisters. That's absolutely insane. And what you don't know is that the people of South Korea are up in arms and marching and protesting. They have been protesting year-round. You don't see this in the media. Year-round, every day for the last few years. There's 365 days in a year. And for at least the last 3 or 4 years, they have protested at least once a day. But the Western media, the alternative media, sweeps it to the under the rug. America is strong-arming Japan to pay for her relocation of her military bases and her troops. When a military power does that, it is telling you that something is wrong financially. You understand? How can you support 5,000 military infrastructures around the world? I want you to understand this. I want you to think about this. 5,000 or more. He said more than. His words were more than 5,000. So it's not just 5,000. It could be 5,001. It could be 5,100. You understand? Or it could be 5,999. This takes a hell of a lot of money to maintain a presence in these nations, right? To keep them up to date. To keep them militarily ready, to keep war games and exercises going on, right? To pay troops and soldiers X amount of money to be abroad. You know, America's so wicked. I gotta bring this home. America's so wicked. And she always uses this phrase, we gotta protect our troops. Donald Trump is no different from all the rest of them before him. Support the troops. Support the military. And do you know that America is so wicked that a lot of these people who are in combat zones that are killed, they are killed days and weeks ahead of time before the media ever reports it, and America will transport their bodies out of Afghanistan or out of Syria or out of whatever hot zone that they're in and transport them to South Korea or transport them to Japan or transport them to Germany or something, and then tell the loved ones that they were killed in an accident on the base. And this is to avoid paying that fee, that combat zone fee, for the rest of that spouse's life. Do you understand the arrogance, the madness, the evilness in a nation that does that? After that person's spouse has given their all to maintain empire, the empire then turns around and takes a dump on that family. But it's all debt. America is acquiring and accumulating and racking up debt unheard of. I was also listening to a interview given by Mark Farber, and he was talking about And I believe he was in Thailand at the time. If I'm not mistaken, he was in Thailand. I know he has a home in in Malaysia, or what is that city? It's the, they call it the city state. I forget his name. He has a home in Malaysia, but he also has a home in the city state. I forget what it's called at this time. It escapes my thought because I want to get to something. Well, in the interview, he was talking about the seriousness of the debt crisis of the Western world. And he was talking about when this thing goes down, it will be unheard of. This is why he said he moved him and his family out of America. And he didn't just move it out of America. He moved his family out of America and moved to Britain or Germany or France. He moved him and his family out of the Western world. I don't think you know the ramifications. Billionaire, over 5, 6, 7 times billionaire, moves his family out of the Western world because he sees something coming, right? Isn't there something? But remember, they're all coming back. They're going to be forced back to the West, but that's another story. But I just want to get you to understand where we are and what is taking place right now. When billionaire investors are leaving in droves, and some are even making contingency plans by investing hundreds of millions of dollars in properties in the desert, hundreds of millions of dollars in properties in the woods, hundreds of millions of dollars in properties in the mountains and under the ground with escape hatches and all of these things, this is letting you know that they see something right above the horizon that you don't see because you're too in the court TV. You're too in the gossip. You're in all types of madness. All of this stuff. And the worst part about it is the memes that you put out are memes against your own kind. You talk about R. Kelly on Facebook all the time. Don't say nothing about Mr. Epstein. You make memes about Bill Cosby, but you never say nothing about Danny Masterson of the 70s Show, who was accused of rape multiple times over. But that is because you caught in a vicious cycle of hating yourself, believing the worst of yourself. I don't care what goes on. This devil can produce people that are willing to lie on your kind to discredit and throw you under the bus. He'll do it to you. He will make, let me tell you, he is not called the arch deceiver for nothing. You can be the most upstanding and outstanding citizen or so-called citizen in America. If you get on his bad side, this devil will go and have, he can pay or threaten or bribe people, and he will have your family saying, I knew he was a mass murderer or a child molester. I knew he did this, and I knew he did this. And you're like, what the hell? I just paid these people bills. And you take it because it's not happening to you. You laugh and you make memes about it. All the while, the white man is setting you up for a fall. Even as his world is collapsing, he keeps your mind, your eyes on madness. Man, I'm telling you. Matter of fact, let me refresh your memory about what's going on with the job market, with the layoffs. Then we're going to come back, and then we're going to go deeper into this. They hate to use this word depression, so they constantly use recession because it is not as negative a connotation as depression. A depression implies that everything has collapsed, that everything, right, is in a phase of falling or dying or degenerating or decaying, right? But a recession is, oh, we're having bad problems, but we're still making it. We can get out of this. We can do this and we can do that. So they give you something to pin your hopes on. We're not in a depression yet, they say. We're in a recession. They've said that for the last few years. When does a recession turn into a depression? Because if you look outside, you can see many people on the streets. You can see many people hungry, right? If there was not a SNAP program, and a lot of people that receive SNAPs are not getting it anymore, the food stamp program, then the lines would be 10, 20 times the lines for food as was in the 1930s, the bread line. When does this recession turn into a depression? Because unemployment continues to spike. Homelessness continues to grow. Hunger continues to explode, right? Your bills continue to mount. They're charging you more for the things that you're getting less of now that you got more of back in the days. You go into any store, your power bill is triple, two, three, four times over. Your water bill. And I just got to say this. You know this white man is the devil. You know he's the devil. I got to say it, and I got to say it, even though we're going to go to this clip, I just thought as I'm talking, this white man is the devil. He will charge you money for things that are naturally yours. Right? He'll force you to pay for electricity, which he is generating off the natural elements of the earth. He's going to make you pay for it. To grow your food or to live on, put your house on something, he's going to force you to pay taxes on land. Force you to buy dirt, right? If you go, your Target's flat, he even charges you for air. Air! Think about this. And they're talking about capitalism. It's the savior. All of the natural elements that are by right yours, he charges you for. And you never question it. All right? Madness. This man is mad. But I just want to refresh your memory on what is coming. And then we're going to address it. We'll go into some of the books, I guess, and then we'll come back with some clips. But I just want you to pay close attention to this.
Welcome to Silver Report Uncut. And so far for 2019, the truth is we've never actually seen anything like this. And now, so a lot of people, they, you know, chalk it up to bad business plans for different businesses. Some retailers, they just didn't adapt well. A lot of the retailers themselves are coming out and saying, well, it's just a plan to make things better and more efficient for you. And for all those who say it will never happen, what does a collapse really look like? Because we do see that the retail sector is in a full-on collapse at this point. And you know what? More debt is coming due over the next few years. We're bound to see this number balloon to new records year after year. I mean, soon we won't have anything left. And if these companies really can't even tread water in an economy that is being described at this point as the greatest economy in the U.S. we've ever seen, how big do you think this list is going to get if we see any kind of significant stock market downturn? But we're seeing it really goes beyond just these poorly designed companies. We're also seeing other major companies that are extremely successful, extremely competitive, they too are beginning to have store closings and names you would never see come up on this list. So we're going to cover a lot of the different retailers right now that are really beginning to have an increasing number of layoffs, significant layoffs, and also store closings. So we've seen 2019 has been a rough one for retailers. And if you don't remember, we actually had a video where the main focus was Kraft Heinz. And we were discussing just how much is in, you know, encompassed in this company, how much their hand is in. They're one of the companies that really dictates the percentage of food on your shelf. But along with that video, we briefly covered Pepsi Cola in the beverage industry and just the fact that they literally absorb and, you know, they give us this illusion of choice, but then you go in and you shop, you know, pretty much anywhere in the soda aisle, except you get like store brands or other kind of off brands. You're pretty much buying from either Pepsi or Coke, even the healthy options. But we also see not only did Kraft Heinz have a problem rolling back, we're now seeing that Pepsi, they've now begun rounds of layoffs. They also have announced a 4-year restructuring plan. Supposed to cost hundreds of millions of dollars in severance pay. So there's been a lot of secrecy going on about these layoffs, but we know that it is very, very significant. And also, Pepsi employees in Plano, Texas, and at the company's headquarters in Purchase, New York, were alerted that they were being laid off. Some of the workers that were alerted about layoffs, they'll continue to work at PepsiCo until late April. At this point, it's really hard to figure out how many teams or people have been affected. Pepsi's actually been very hush-hush about this, but by their estimates, the company's layoffs are expected to be a multi-million dollar project in 2019 because they also have announced in a filing with the SEC, just Friday that they expected to incur $2.5 billion in pre-tax restructuring costs through 2023, and 70% of those charges are linked to severance pay as well as other employee costs. And the company's also closing some factories, so there's an additional 15% of that $2.5 billion needed for restructuring that is tied to plant closures and also related actions. About $800 million of that $2.5 billion is going to affect 2019 results, but there's also an additional $138 million that was included in the 2018 results. Now, back in 2018, what took place? Pepsi, they had decided they were going to lay off fewer than 1% of their 110,000 corporate employees. That would include 200 employees at the Purchase New York headquarters. But we now know it's going to be much more significant than that, as they are escalating the amount of severance pay. So that means they are having broad sweeps of layoffs going on at Pepsi. And I love the way they word this, because they never want to let you on to just how poorly they're doing, just how bad the business environment is right now, because they have announced it in a way, saying that their goal is efficiency, restructuring. These are the themes of PepsiCo's quarterly earnings call with investors on Friday. So they don't want to spook their investors. They want to keep them calm until they can go through. And they don't really want to alert anyone that the fact that there is a significant slowdown going on for the global economy. So the company's chief financial officer said that the company is also planning to lay off workers in positions that they plan to be replaced with automation. Now, the CEO, LaGuerta, again, he said Friday that they are relentlessly automating and merging the best of our optimized business models with the best new thinking and technologies. So they're also downsizing. And a part of this reorganization, they're actually squeezing their beverage business into only 4 U.S. regional divisions and a single Canadian division. And what is turning out to be a really slow motion collapse, JCPenney's back at it again. They're also going to be closing 15 full-line stores and 9 home and furniture locations, which actually turns out to be hundreds of jobs. Now, they have had declining sales for a number of years. Now, they just announced Thursday that they were going to be closing the stores because they're not performing well. JCPenney has been reviewing its locations for potential closures because they really need to cut costs. They've had this significant downturn in sales. They had around 864 department stores back on November 3rd. And this actually brings the total closures for JCPenney for 2019 to 27 so far. Now, we did see sales at JCPenney stores. They fell by 4% in the fourth quarter. And that included the devastating holiday season this year. We also see some other news going on for Gap and Old Navy. They seem to be splitting their stores apart. And mainly, the Gap has seriously been struggling. Their sales fell 5% last year. Also, the Banana Republic, they've also been closing stores. So the company, they've been talking a while about how to make, you know, Gap actually work as a business again. And so back in November, they began to describe Gap's store count as unprofitable. At the end of last quarter, there was 1,242 Gap stores worldwide and 700 total of 758 in North America. On Thursday, the company has just signaled that they're going to be closing 230 of the Gap stores over the next 2 years. And to add to the growing list of retail closures, Vicky Secret's stores this year, because we saw sales at stores open at least a year actually fell 7% in the most recent quarter. And the way that they worded it is that they have been relying heavily on promotions just to try to get any customer to walk into the store, especially during holidays. And the problem is with these type of discounts, well, the way they worded it, they said, quote, "It's more promotional than we would like over the last several years." So the company closed 30 stores last year. In November, they had the CEO resign, and their stock has plunged more than 40% in the past year. In fact, just Thursday, the stock was down 7% as a result of the announcement that they were going to be having a terrible 2019. So we also saw that Payless, they too have been battered, and they did confirm Friday that they are closing 2,100 stores in the U.S. They start liquidation sales Sunday. The company is also shutting down their e-commerce operations, and the amount of closings that are just coming out of Payless alone are the biggest by a single chain this year, and it nearly doubles the number of retail stores that are set to close in 2019. And it seems, while most of us are out there drinking the Kool-Aid, the closing announcements, they keep coming and coming and coming. In fact, just during the first few weeks of 2019, we saw retailers, they shuttered 23% more stores than they did at the start of 2018. And that was before the massive influx of the Payless closings. We also know in smaller numbers that Kohl's is going to be closing down some stores. Target, of course, is going to be closing down some stores. But that also is actually becoming an annual event. They shuttered 13 stores in February 2018. J. Crew is closing 6 stores. So Macy's, they've disclosed plans to shut down 8 stores so far they've announced for 2019. Now Christopher & Banks, they're a little bit larger. They have around 450 stores. But they've also now announced that over the next 2.5 years, they're going to be shutting down 30 to 40 stores. Kmart for 2019 is going to be shuttering another 48 stores. So the parent company, Sears Holdings, they've actually shut down more than 150 Kmart stores for 2018. I mean, what a demise. Kmart stores were really covering the United States and its territories back in the year 2000. They had around 2,200 stores. You know, at this point, there's around 360 left, and they still continue to close. Lowe's also, for 2019, they plan to close 51 more stores. And of course, Sears, for 2019, they have now announced they're going to be closing an additional 70 department stores, including the Sears at the Minnesota's Mall of America, which is the largest shopping center in the U.S. Children's Place, don't forget them. They have 109 stores they're going to be shuttering. Now, they actually said that their goal is to shut down 300 stores by 2020. Now, Starbucks for 2019 is also going to be shuttering 150 locations. Things Remembered for 2019 is going to be shuttering 200 locations. And don't forget Gymboree. They're going to be closing 900 stores for 2019. So it really seems as if there is no light at the end of the tunnel. Just more and more terrible news going on for the retail business in the U.S. Now tell me again, how well is that recovery doing? Nobody really wants to get honest with this. That the simple fact is, companies, they've been surviving this long based solely on cheap debt. You point to the stock market, you tell me everything is swell, everything's going great, and what do you see? You see stock buybacks that have been fueled by this, you know, enormous rally came straight out of 0% interest rates. All of it was a massive bubble. It was an illusion of prosperity. And when you look at what these announcements are saying, they're keeping other locations outside of the U.S. still open, still operating, business as usual. It's just mainly the retail sector in the U.S. Now, you're talking about an economy that relies very, very heavily on customers continuing to shop. All signs right now are pointing to an exhausted customer in the U.S. And there's only so much you can borrow. And it keeps everything covered up for a while, you know, a fresh set of paint on a car that can't pass inspection. And then here you have it. The crash that was never allowed to happen back in 2008 is now manifesting itself here and now. So it's not just, you know, boo-hoo for these stores. The simple fact is, this is millions and millions of square feet of tax base. You see, this money is going to be coming out of the municipalities in which they operate. It could also tie a stone and throw it off the edge of the boat on the whole commercial real estate market. Either way, it looks like 2019 is going to be a year for records. All right, thank you guys for joining us here with the Silver Report Uncut.
So now, you've heard that about the mass store closings all over America, and they continue to mount. Now, this is a triple threat or quadruple threat or whatever kind of threat you want, because, look, without the businesses, as they shut her down, then there's no taxes for the federal government. Remember, if the businesses close, that also closes a tax for the government. This is how the government gets a lot of its revenue, through taxes, right? Also, if the business closed and the government gets no more taxes from those businesses, what about the people who worked at the business? What happens to them? They become unemployed, right? This is also another snag or burden on the economy. So it is hitting the people who work there. It is hitting the people who own the business. It is hitting the government who taxes the businesses, right? And it's also hitting those communities where the businesses lie, because the buildings become old and dilapidated and shuttered, right? Is that not right? And it costs money for upkeep. Oh, man. I'm telling you, this thing is unfolding in such a way that this white man, what he's trying to do to you, he's trying to make you believe that we are not in a full-blown depression. If you look at all of the economic barometers to judge a depression, right, you will see that this classifies as one of the greatest depressions in the history of America, right? America, even in the 1930s, America's debt burden was nothing like it is today. America had some gold, some silver and reserves. Today she has none. She's only stealing gold and silver. This is why she's over there. There were credible reports, and it was verified by international organizations that America was stealing Syria's gold. The gold that Syria was holding in the northern part of the country, because they didn't have it just in the southern or the eastern part. They had it spread out all over the country. The gold that was acquired by America's proxies, ISIS, right? America was receiving the gold to transport her CIA stooges from one area to another. Didn't this bring something back to mind? What did they do? They blame Russia. Blame Russia is invading Ukraine. Russia is being belligerent. Now, Ukraine was once part of the Soviet Union, which has greater ties to Russia, right? And then as America points the finger at Russia, and Russia's doing her best to say, I'm not doing this in Ukraine, next thing you know, America and her NATO troops are in Ukraine, right? She does this all the time, deflection. And the first thing they did was remove the gold holdings of Ukraine. They swept them out under the cover of darkness to American votes. What did they do in Libya? Nobody knows what happened to the hundreds of billions of dollars in gold that Gaddafi had abroad in America and in Europe. Nobody is saying where that gold went. What did they do to Honduras when Hillary Clinton inspired the coup to overthrow the popular leader of Honduras? They stole the gold, right? The thing is, they weren't able to steal all of Syria's gold. And what are they doing now? They are, listen to this, and this white man is something else, because I hear all of these, and I'm going to address this, not super in-depth, but I'm going to address this, because we hear this, and I'm not socialist or nothing like this, but I have to tell the truth, and I have to put it out there whether you like it or not. On all of the news sites, be it mainstream or so-called alternative, they are always pointing the finger at socialism as the downfall of Venezuela, right? They're always doing this. Look at the situation. They never point the finger to the economic sanctions of the capitalist West led by America that is actually the cause of the breakdown in parts of the society of Venezuela. They never do. They don't say it's capitalism which is causing this, but they say that it is socialism, because they don't want you to even contemplate or have an idea of something outside of what they want to dominate. Because capitalism, in all of its essence, is greed. Capitalism, in all of its essence, is I'm going to get mine regardless to whom or what. And when I get mine, I'm going to subjugate everybody else. That's what capitalism is. Why do you think you have all this inequality here? Why do you think that one person can get put in jail on accusations, if your skin is black, on accusations, and another man like Epstein can molest and rape children, and yet they offer him a plea deal where he's not going to be a sexual predator? Huh? Why do you think? Because it is who greases the palms of the people in power. How do you think the people in power got in power? This is a ever-spinning, corrupt system. You understand what I'm saying? So, back to Venezuela. See, I have to touch on a few things because what is going on now? Britain wouldn't give back Venezuela's gold. That is international theft, grand theft, for the whole world to see. Right? And I think Venezuela has some gold. I could be wrong on this one, but I think they have some gold stored in France, too. They haven't gotten that. America has seized all of the sick golds in the U.S., right? Handed it over to their appointed or their designated leader. America has sanctioned and continues to sanction Venezuela over and over and over, trying to squeeze out every inch of independence of Venezuela so that America can then go in and buy up all of the assets at pennies on the dollar, like they did with the Soviet Union when they sanctioned and pressured the Soviet Union and it finally collapsed. They did the same and went in there and bought up all of the strategic assets for pennies on the dollar. Okay? Look at what's happening now. Or what is it? Citigroup? Venezuela has asked Citigroup and they petitioned Citigroup not to sell their gold and to give them a waiver because of the economic pressure that they're under. Citigroup, under pressure by America, Great Britain, France, and all of the colonial powers, have now pushed, and this shows you that these so-called international corporations are not independent. They have now agreed, under pressure, well, whatever you think they were going to do, to sell off billions in gold of the assets of Venezuela because they were holding this gold as collateral. Right? And America knew what she was doing. She was breaking Venezuela's currency reserves through these sanctions so that when this due date was came and went, Venezuela would look in all appearances to have defaulted on its claim of gold, and therefore Citigroup, in the eyes of the people, would look to be right when they steal the gold of Venezuela. This is a criminal enterprise. The Western world, under the leadership and the dictates of America, this is a criminal enterprise. But what else can you expect from a nation and a world that is drowning in debt? They are drowning in debt. This is why the show is called The Debt Tsunami. Is drowning the Western world. Oh, black man and black woman. And they know it. They know it. Matter of fact, let me go to something. Okay, listen to this. Let me go to theology of time. Here we are. Listen to this. This is the Lord talking. I will bring him back and I will miserably destroy his enemies. Stop right there. Bring who back? The lost and found so-called American Negro. He will be brought back to his own, and God is going to judge his enemies. What does that have to do with the dead? Furthermore, listen to this that follows. This is Elijah Muhammad talking. He has come and found us. Now he wants to take you and me home again by going to war with the enemy. Now, listen to this. In order to get the prodigal son to thinking of a home, he went to work on the land that he was in. Stop right there for a minute. Look at the debt situation in this land that you're in. Look at the internal debt situation. The municipalities are going bankrupt. The cities are going bankrupt. The counties are going bankrupt. Entire states are going bankrupt. America itself in the federal position is bankrupt, right? On top of that, you have storm after storm after storm after storm after storm destroying something, whether it's a lightning storm, a windstorm, a hurricane, a tornado, an avalanche, a sinkhole, right? Or whether it's flood, or hard rain, or terrific drought, or intense cold, or earthquakes, whatsoever they may be, touching America. That is a great burden, and it is breaking not only America in her breadbasket of California, because most people think that America's real breadbasket is in the Midwest. That's part of it. But California is suffering. I was reading an article, and I was looking at a documentary talking about the situation in California. I think that was last week I was doing it. And it was talking about how this intense season for the last few years of wildfires and drought and all that has damaged the economy, but also damaged the food-producing lands in California. This also has a direct tie to what they were talking about in the Midwest, about how the Midwest, the breadbasket of the Midwest has been hit so hard that there, every time you turn around, there's a bank foreclosure or bank closing, not a bank, excuse me, a farm foreclosure or a farm being shuttered, right? And then you look at the intense floods that are destroying the land. It is a very, very magnificent thing to see because we're seeing Scripture. God goes to work against the land, right? Oh, man. Let's go a little further, and then we're going to go to a clip. He says, in order to get the prodigal son of thinking of a home, because, see, you're not thinking of a home. All you're thinking about is entering the political system of this beast. That's what you're thinking about. I'll become a congressman. Because you want the prestige, you want the accolades, you want the pat on the back that you have arrived in the society. But this society is declining and falling. You want to be a president, you want to be a representative of the state or the district or whatever. In a nation that is gradually in decline, you want to be something, even though people with eyes, spiritual eyes, can see that if you integrate into this society, you will become a victim of the judgment. It says, in order to get the prodigal son to thinking of a home, he went to work on the land that he was in. In that land, the book says, a great famine arose, and the poor boy became in want. He couldn't get a job. Stop right there. What's going on? Did you hear that clip that I just played? What's going on? Massive rounds of job cuts, massive rounds of laying off, massive rounds of store closing with more and more in the foreseeable future. Why are the businesses shuttering? Because of the accumulation of debt, unsustainable debt. And if we were to look at the structuring of businesses and how after taking on so much debt, and the debt outweighs the profit margin, therefore, they have to either file bankruptcy and close or just close outright. And we were to apply that business model to the American Republic, then we can see soon that the American Republic would have to shut her doors too. Is that not right? She's not the exception to the rule. She too must shutter. If the taking on massive debt after debt after debt, and it outweighs the profit margin, is a main reason for the bankruptcy of businesses and the shuttering of businesses' doors, then that too must apply to the Republic of America. Is that not right? Come on, talk to you, brother. 347-989-0855. 347-989-0855. The debt tsunami is drowning the Western world, and some of you don't want to hear it. Because in reality, you are falling head over heels in love with this world and this nation because it gives you nothing. It gives you nothing. You like a spouse that loves an abusive spouse, right? You love them for no particular reason. And no matter how bad they treat you, you're there, right? And you get mad at anybody else for trying to awaken you to the reality of your situation. Well, I don't care about you getting mad at me. I got to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. You understand? Well, you know, let's go into something. Let's go into something. Okay? I want you all to listen closely to this, okay? Please. I want you all to listen closely to this because I want you to see where we are. And I'm trying to get some clips in. I just looked up at the time, and, man, it's 40 minutes left to go. 40 minutes. So Let me play something for you quickly, and we'll be right back on the other side of this clip.
There's a recent report by the U.S. Center for Disease Control that reveals that deaths in America due to alcohol, drugs, and suicide is even higher than ever. The numbers have continued to go up each and every year, but the biggest jump was in opioid deaths, which have increased by a whopping tenfold in just the past 5 years. Some of the biggest increases were seen in the South and in the Rust Belt states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Chris Hedges addresses this problem in his book, The Farewell Tour. I ask him why this is happening.
It's because these people feel trapped. They feel their lives are stagnant. They recognize that there's no way that they can actualize themselves, both in terms of meaningful work and economically. They recognize that there's no way out for their children. And so they are attempting to anesthetize themselves, and this despair, this desperation, what the sociologist Emile Durkheim called anomie, by engaging in self-destructive forms of behavior, whether that is through alcoholism, the opioid crisis, hate groups. I mean, it's important. Durkheim, when he writes his book on suicide, about what it is that drives individuals and communities to carry out acts of self-destruction, says that those who engage in extremist forms of hate are really driven by a desire for self-annihilation. And I think until we address this social inequality, this social dislocation that has shunted aside at this point well over half of the American working poor, you will see these kind of pathologies become more and more pronounced. This, they are responding to the fact that they have, at least in their eyes, been discarded as human refuse. And I think they're not wrong. We have created an oligarchic system. Income inequality is now at the highest levels in American history. And, you know, there is a breaking point. You know, remember, as Darber Ehrenreich says in Nickel and Dime, being poor, part of the working poor in America, is one long emergency, because when your old car that you can't afford to get fixed breaks down, you can't get to work, then you lose your job, then you can't pay your rent. And finally, it's understandable that you engage in some kind of activity to blunt the pain, and that's what we're seeing, and it's getting worse. It's not getting better.
Is the recourse a change in the political system, and is that the reason that most of the people that you just described adore Donald Trump?
Well, the reason people adore Donald Trump, first of all, they're white, so they're part of that white working class that was more susceptible to the myth of the American dream, and Baldwin writes that African Americans don't have that susceptibility because from the moment they are children, they understand there's two sets of rules, one for them and one for us. But they're the white working class, and so, yes, they are finding in Trump a figure who expresses their rage at the established elites in both parties, whether it's the Bushes or the Clintons, that sold them out, and they're not wrong. And so Trump may be vulgar and crude and even vile, but he is expressing, I would argue, a legitimate rage towards these elites that, under the ideology of neoliberalism, has fleeced the country and destroyed their lives. And that's the attraction.
Even if he is one of them and is not necessarily enacting policies that will get them out of the hole they're in.
Well, of course, he's a con artist, but the point is that they don't trust the established media, and why should they? The established media has been a handmaiden of corporate power, is owned and dominated by corporate power. So in many ways, he's protected, because when they turn on CNN and watch Wolf Blitzer, who, by the way, used to work for AIPAC, they know that they're invisible. Their concerns are invisible. Their lives are invisible. Their suffering is invisible. What's been done to them is invisible. And it's just the chattering of courtiers sitting around Versailles talking about Stormy Daniels or who tweeted what, or which is utterly irrelevant to their existence.
So a political change is the only thing that will, and perhaps even a revolutionary political change, is the only thing that will truly bring some type of salvation to our current condition, at least in the minds of how most Americans who are committing suicide, doing drugs, and getting drunk see it.
Right. Either they're reintegrated into the economy and given a place within that system, one where they can have dignity and respect. I'll tell you, the best encyclical on work written by any pope was written by John Paul II, hardly a raving left-winger, but he got it. Work is more than about the exchanging of labor for a wage. It is vitally important to our place within the society, our mental health, our emotional health, and when you take that away, these are the consequences that you get. So either these people are reintegrated economically, and let me go back to Rabin. Yitzhak Rabin in Israel, when he signed the peace agreement with Oslo, understood that the way to break fanaticism among the Palestinians was to give them a place in the Israel economy, the Israeli economy, so that Ahmed could go to Tel Aviv and buy a refrigerator and send his kids to school and have hope. In essence, that's really what this system has done. It has taken away the possibility of hope, and if we don't restore it, things are going to get exponentially worse.
I'm Rick Sanchez. You found us on YouTube.
Even they are talking about a change is needed from the top down. Even they're talking about that. Remember, he said that black people have no place at the table. We have nothing. So when he was talking about reintegrating, we were never integrated into it, right? So he's talking about the people who are riding with Trump, how they see their system turning against them, right? As long as it was against us, it was cool. It was okay. You Negroes are in the best country in the world. You better love it. But now that the system is eating at its core, they're talking about revolution and civil insurrection and civil war because of the mental excitement, because they see something. They are losing their jobs. They're being put on the level of the ex-slaves. And Elijah Muhammad said that was going to come. Huh? They were going to lose everything and see how it was going to feel to them because of the way they did us. And we're looking at it. And all of them talking about is that change must come. Change. But listen, I want to ask you something. If you are talking about change must come, and change must come to the system, but yet you're still talking about having the same people run the system with the same ideas and the same mind and the same tendencies and the same nature, how in the hell can that produce change? I'm asking you. If you have the same ideas, the same mind, the same tendencies, the same actions, the same desires, the same wants, the same needs as that which is killing the system, which brought the system about, how can change happen if you are left to lead the change? I'm talking. I'm asking. There must be a complete change. And we're in that time. We're at 100% dissatisfaction. And whenever in time it is reached 100% dissatisfaction, then a universal change must take place. And this is why you are seeing climate change. This is why they're so focused on the elemental change that is going on economically, technologically, culturally, right, around the globe. This is why you see the things that are going on in space, things that you've never seen before. When I was a child, they used to tell us that you would see an eclipse every so often, every X amount of years. You would see this coming once every 75 years or once every X amount of years. And now every time you turn around, there's a coming. There's a meteor. There's an eclipse. There's something that is happening in the heavens above and the earth below. Because now we're into a tremendous change that is going on. Before we go further, let me go to the phone line. Please make your statement, your comment brief, or I will have to cut you off for a minute because the time is of the essence. I'm not being rude. I'm looking at the clock, and it's like 31 minutes. I have a whole bunch of people. Here we go. Here's a caller right here. Caller, you're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. We say unto you, assalamu alaikum. Peace. 1111.
Can you hear me?
Are you there?
You have to press the button.
Hello. 111? Okay. Anyway, I'll try it again, 111, and then we'll bring you back in. 111, I think when it's a 11111 or a 22222, it is a caller who hosts another show or something like that. So if you have a problem, I couldn't hear you, we couldn't hear you, dial back in and we'll try you again, okay? But listen, this entire world is drowning. Everything is changing from the old to the new. You've got to understand that. Everything is changing, whether you want it or not. Everything is changing. This is why they're so preoccupied. If you look, just look on just the earthly scale of things. Okay, we'll bring them in real quick, and then I'll get back to this point. 111, you're on the Star and Crescent Report.
Now
I hear you. Yes, you're there?
Yeah, now
I
hear you. Okay,
go ahead.
Hi, my name's Dell. I called in last week. Here's the thing. I just got here, but I saw your headline about the debt tsunami. Did you talk about the Federal Reserve in our country?
Okay. I've been talking along that line the whole show. I just didn't mention the Federal Reserve, but I'll try to get to that. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, I think what he wants to know about, I think what he wants to talk about the Federal Reserve and how it has manipulated the currency, how it has manipulated the system, and how it has manipulated the economy. Now, it is true that the Federal Reserve is an independent, outside of government norms, it is an independent organization owned by key Jewish people. I'm going to say something. It was warned by certain presidents not to start the Federal Reserve, right? And I'm addressing this slowly because it's a point that I'm going to get to in just a second. And they started this Federal Reserve, right? But a lot of people don't realize that this is, how should I say it? I'm trying to word it where you can get the most benefit out of it. After the Federal Reserve was started, before it was started, there was a meeting on Jekyll Island, and this is what he's talking about, I believe, and how that they would bring about change and how they would rule the world with this Federal Reserve. Well, hell, they were ruling the world anyhow. They've been ruling it for a long time. Seriously. I'm not being facetious. I'm not trying to be offensive, but I'm being realistic and I'm being truthful. But there was ulterior motives to this. Let me go to some Fall of America. Listen to this. Okay? In this book, Fall of America, I read this constantly because I want you to understand something. This goes directly hand in hand with the Federal Reserve. It is not just the Federal Reserve that does it. It is the entire system. This is what most people are missing. It is the system itself, the Federal Reserve being one cog in the system. You understand? Let me read something to you. And I've read this a million times, but this goes hand in hand with the Federal Reserve. The stronghold of the American government is falling to pieces. She has lost her prestige among the nations of the earth. One of the greatest powers of America was her dollar. Stop right there. I continue to break this down for you all. Was. Past tense. Because America robbed its dollar of its silver and its gold backing, right? This put the American Republic on a downward spiral for doom. Stop right there. Like we say in the streets, pause. Now, it didn't immediately happen, but for decades, America enjoyed the fruits of unhinging her dollar from the gold and the silver. And she was able to accumulate massive amounts of debt. All this is scripture, though. All of those roadblocks for her accumulating the debt would be removed. This is how she became the number one power. I want you to understand this. If she had not done this, she would not have been or maintained her number one power status. So she had to do this. Greed took part in it, but at the same time, arrogance and belligerence and privilege also fed into this. So she was constrained with a gold and silver because there's a finite amount of gold and silver reserves that each nation has. And if your currency is backed by a finite metal, then you cannot print infinite amounts of fiat money to back your empire. Therefore, she had to make a choice. As de Gaulle, as we said on this, Charles de Gaulle, the French president at the time, former general in the French military, saw how America was spending, and he wanted to return the American notes for gold. And Richard Nixon said, you know, our money is as good as gold. And he said, well, then give me gold. And this started the other nations to follow suit. And Richard Nixon put a hold. But this wasn't the first time that America went off the gold and silver standard. But this is one of the main ones here, okay? And so people think that this was a move particularly by the Federal Reserve. But this was about maintaining the system. Okay? Yes, listen to me good. Because if America could not detach herself from the gold, then she could not continue to rev up wars around the world, continue her military occupation around the world, and expand empire. Because it takes an infinite amount of money to continue to expand. If you have a finite amount of money, then your expansion is finite. But now America has expanded around the globe because there was a detachment of the dollar from the gold and silver standard, right? Now, we've been teaching on this since the 30s, but the alternative media and everybody is just getting on this, right? We have it in the books. But this was a double-edged sword for the greedy, the corrupt, and those who are addicted to power. Because, yes, it gave her decades of prosperity, but there would be a blowback effect. And this blowback effect will threaten not only the economy of the wealthiest nation on earth, but it will threaten the existence of the wealthiest nation on earth. Because there's a blowback. Listen, a lot of people don't like me saying this, but I have to say this. America thinks that she is the exception to all the rules. She believes, and this is not just the government, this is the people of America. America itself and the people believe that they can do dirt or deal with corruption or evil as long as they want to, and there is no blowback effect. They believe that they can alter the laws of science and there is no repercussions. Okay, I'm going to take the world, not we, but I'm going to take the world off the gold and silver standard. I'm going to impose my will, and I'm going to force the nations to buy everything with dollars. I'm going to be the middleman, because now I am off the gold and the silver standard, right? And now I got a couple nations that I threaten to recycle my money, and we'll call it the cycle of the petrodollar. And they thought that this would help to maintain the empire. But what this did was cause a spiraling cycle of debt. You understand? A debt cycle that has now captured the entire American Republic, and there will be no escape. Listen, in this day and time, you will reap what you've sown. And there's no getting around this. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Okay. When a person robs a person and they stand before the court and the court says it's going to mete out justice, right? And the court gives a sentence according to its laws. Not only does that person who did the robbing suffer, but the people who are connected along the way suffer, even though they had nothing to do with the robbery. Okay? This is what is going on with America. America, and this is a history, they have robbed almost every nation. And are still robbing. There ain't no contrition shown in the policies of America. No contrition. How in the hell can they be contrite of heart and they're bombing people over in Somalia and all across North Africa, imposing their demands and their will on other nations, and at the same time telling people in Venezuela, well, we don't like your leader. He's illegitimate now that we don't like him, and we're going to impose our. There's no contrition of heart there. How in the hell can you be have contrition of heart in a situation like this when you're stealing nations' gold and silver and assets, and when a nation stand up against you, the media vilifies those people as dictators, tyrants, lunatics, and then you go to war with them, and you destroy. Listen to this good. Libya, whether you like it or not, the North African nation of Libya was the most prosperous and the most successful nation on the Mediterranean. If you don't believe me, go to the UN World Book, and they'll tell you, under the leadership of Muammar Gaddafi, they went from the poorest nation and the most illiterate, backwards nation to one of the most forward, progressive nations on earth. Listen to me good. Before America and Britain imposed a blackout on this, Muammar Gaddafi was supposed to, a month or two months before they bombed Libya, Muammar Gaddafi was supposed to receive a UN award for the work that he's done for his country, lifting his people out of poverty, free child care, free aid, free this, free that. And he used the nation's wealth. And then America, France, Britain, and all of the colonial powers lied on him. They trained these people to start trouble in the country, then they justified and removed them and killed them and broke the country, and now the country is in havoc. I'm making a point here. It was the most prosperous nation in the Mediterranean. African nations are not the only nations on the Mediterranean. There are European nations on the Mediterranean too. And all of them was envious of the growth of Libya. You understand? Brothers and sisters. So I'm bringing this point home for something. When you steal and you've stolen for decades, when you lie and you've lied for decades, right? When you rob and you rob for decades, and when you wage war, class warfare, and you've done it for decades, and we see what happened to lesser nations that did a fraction of that. It is only right that America suffered what she suffered. I'm just being honest about this situation. The Bible tells you, as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. Well, I didn't do nothing. Well, you are a beneficiary of it. You understand? Therefore, the entire populace of America must suffer. Because think about this. America had it out with Gaddafi. The people of Libya didn't have nothing to do with it. But they were the main sufferers of what happened through America and Western policies. The same thing is going on. What we're seeing now is a blowback effect in science. I say this often. There's a law that every force or every motion receives an equal or greater force, right? If you put out a force against me, then you can expect an equal or greater one back, right? Why is it that we forget these things when we're talking about nations? Brother Gerald, I'll bring you in just a second, okay? I'm trying to lay a base here because this is at the core of what's going on with the Federal Reserve. This is what's going on with the Treasury Department. This is what's going on. See, all of these entities have a part to play. They are trying to maintain Western hegemony at all costs. Don't for one second to believe that these irrational policies are done to bring down the system, as Dave from X22 report says. They're going to bring down the system artificially. Man, that's crazy. The people who are benefiting from the system is not going to bring down their system on purpose. That's not it. That's not how things go. If you are the direct beneficiary, you are not, if you are reaping the whirlwind of good, you're not going to try to, honestly, to destroy your blessings. It doesn't make sense today. Well, I'm going to go to the, because I want to address something. Time is of the essence, so let me go to another phone call. Then I got to address something. I got to bring Brother Gerald in. Brother Gerald, how are you doing today, my good brother?
I'm doing fine, brother. All praise is due to Allah. Brother, is this white man a liar or is he a liar? This white man, he is the arch deceiver, brother. In fact, he is such a liar since you're speaking on Venezuela in the sanctions. Brother, there's an excellent, exceptional video called Max Blumenthal Debunks Corporate Media Lies about Venezuela.
Yes.
And brother, the mainstream media have you thinking the humanitarian crisis over in Venezuela so bad until the people are eating out of trash cans. You know, they're eating dogs. It's so bad. And in this video, he goes and shows you these food markets that are selling food under price value there. I mean, there's so much food. He even talks about, they even interview the people of Venezuela, and they're looking at them like there's no humanitarian crisis, you know, in the country going on right now. These are lies that are being perpetuated to the public in the world to make you think, that, you know, the Venezuela government, Nicolas Maduro, doing these things, you know, to the extent, you know, the price so bad. This is what America does. He creates.
Hey, hold your thought right there. Hold that thought right there. I'm not muting you. Hold your thought right there. If you go back to one of the shows from last year and year before that, I told the people that. I told them that. I said, and I told them that the alternative media was lying. They were lying. And the mainstream media was lying. I told them that because I have sources too. And I knew. They were talking about people eating out of the dumpsters and garbage. These are lies. That's the same thing that they said. These are the same type of lies that they were saying about Gaddafi being a tyrant and hated by his own people. But then he said, okay, let's hold elections. Let's hold elections. If that's what you say, let's hold elections. And I guarantee you that 80% of my people. And then they did a poll and they said 91%. Now, this was backed up by the Carter Institute. Former President Carter of the United States. His institute backed us up that there was an 80 to 91% backing of Gaddafi by the Libyan people. But he was a tyrant. How in the hell can you be a tyrant when the people of your nation want you to lead them? Just like when they said Assad is a butcher. Assad is a tyrant. He's a dictator. And then they held elections, and Assad had a higher turnout and a higher percentage rating than all of the Western leaders combined. I think he won the election by 75% of them, if I'm not mistaken, of the population. How in the hell can you delegitimize this man as a leader of a nation when the people, 75% of the people, voted for him, right? And yet you barely make it into office, and you call winning 51% as your mandate. The madness of these, brother, go ahead, brother. Just go.
Yes, sir, brother. Well, you know, America government controls its media outlet. So they're going to only show the people here those ones that they want to overthrow to make them look ill and bad in the eyes of the people to justify their actions to go in, overthrow these countries, steal their resources, steal the gold, steal the oil, and, you know, the public at large are oblivious but see Allah's revealing the evil deeds of the man of sin, this white man. Also, this video talks about Iran, how the sanctions that they put on Iran, and they wanted the people in Iran to rise up and overthrow the government of Iran. This is America. This is what America is doing. And see, he says, brother, they want to listen. They won't listen to us. Go to that video and listen to that white man, Black Blumenthal.
Yeah. He did. I gotta give it to Max Blumenthal. Did an excellent job when he went down there and he talked directly to the people, and he had videos showing the nation. And what is missing is that under Maduro, just like under Hugo Chavez, he would not allow the people, the businesses, to fleece the people. They were under government capital controls, especially because they're under sanctions by the Western world. So he will not allow them to jack up the prices. or they can go to jail for doing that. And a lot of this, I talked about this on the show a long time ago, but I'm glad Blumenthal went and got some video to show people. My point I was making, I'm glad you brought this up, but the point I was making is this. You can't continue to put out hell and don't receive it. What America is receiving today is a direct consequence of our policies from the last 80 years or more.
That's the nature of cause and effect. Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother. Yes, sir. You will see greater good when you do good. You will receive greater evil when you do evil. This is the fall of America and the blowback of that which they've been doing to others. You know, primarily America's fall is due in part to the injustices done to the so-called American Negro, the black man. This is the hell that she's reaping for the evil that she has done. But, yeah, brother,
yeah.
Go ahead and continue on, brother, with the marvelous show. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you, brother. And this is one of the main things, because a lot of times when we're talking and conversations are being held between different people or the same people, the root cause is not addressed. Of why this and why that is happening. The root cause never gets addressed. So we have to address these things, and sometimes it takes so long to address it because you can't just give a simplified answer, because that's what everybody's getting. You want the people to get the meat and potatoes of everything, so sometimes you have to go over here and start talking about this, then you have to talk about that, then you have to talk about something else, then you have to bring them together to connect the dots to show the people. You may have asked about the Federal Reserve, but we got to go over here and address Venezuela. We got to go and address Syria. We got to go and address Libya. We got to go and address the policies of Europe. We got to come back to America and address the alternative and the mainstream media. And then, after we connect those dots and we've gotten an outline view, we can then go and do some coloring so that we can get a very in-depth view and talk about the direct effects of the Fed policies on the economy in the country and why it's like that. Okay? I gotta play this clip, but I see I gotta go to Rashid. Brother Rashid, I gotta bring you in, and then I gotta go to this clip. I have to play this clip. So I gotta tell you, how's it going today? How you doing?
8402. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
You there?
Let me get
there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you very well. Yes.
Tell you just real quick, like what you're saying here, policies are a result of what happened in the past. India and Pakistan, when he split up Pakistan and India, he gave a Muslim province, 99.9% Muslim province, over into put a Hindu over a bunch of Muslims. Now, you know that ain't gonna go through. But he did that to control these people. Way down in India and Pakistan about to go to war of what Britain did in the 1946. You see? The white man has long-ranging plans. When he gives something, you better watch it. Assalamu alaikum.
Let me follow up on that before I play this clip. Because I see 7 minutes. But let me say this on the back of what he's saying. When Britain split up the Asian subcontinent into India and Pakistan, and they made it, instead of just putting all of the provinces together of Pakistan, the one Pakistan, they had East and West Pakistan, and in the middle of a war with India, India helped East Pakistan break away, and you have Bangladesh and all of this stuff. All of these are direct policies. Blowback from the policies of the Western world. When you see the situation, the climate in the Middle East, this just didn't happen by circumstance. Britain, America, and France put the Wahhabis in control. And remember, this is something that continues to get left out. The House of Saud is not Muslim. The House of Saud is Jew. They are Jews. This gets mixed out of everything. If they were Muslim, then why did they bulldoze the resting place of Prophet Muhammad? I'm telling you, the House of Saud was placed in there by the Jewish, the American, and the French. When you look at the borders of Africa, when you look at the borders of the Middle East, these things were carved up by the colonial powers. And and they left something there so that whenever something flares up, they can go in there and act as peacemakers, and they rule both of them because everybody has to abide by their dictates. Look what's going on with China and Japan, right? I just want to say this because all of this gets lost in the shuffle. And this is why China has an active plan to bring America to yield. This is why China has the so-called rocks that Japan and China are fighting over. When China liberated herself from Japanese occupation, and when America and China came to an agreement that after the war, they would return those so-called islands with rocks or whatever you want to call them back to China. Well, America reneged on them and put them under when Japan came fully under America's thumb, put them under Japan's sovereignty. And this is what the flare-up is about those rocks, what they call the Diu Islands. You know, this is where that comes from. This comes from a direct policy initiative of the West. If you look down in South and Central America, the flaring up down there, that becomes a direct result of the policy dictates of the West. All of the trouble that you see brewing, all of the stuff that you see festering, is a direct policy of the West. There would be no Osama bin Laden if there were no the big new Brzezinski, right? There would be no Mullah Omar in the Taliban if there was no Ronald Reagan, who met with them in the Oval Office of the White House and offered them a major deal if they would allow America to come over there and mine up all of this untapped wealth over there. You see what I mean? So one former CIA analyst says that Al-Qaeda is just a database of CIA operatives. That's all it is. So when we look at this, we have to look at it in this whole thing. America funded these things, and now they're blowing back. And America, the more she funds this stuff, the more she thinks she's getting away with it, the more it blows back on her, the more debt comes to her. This is what the Russian foreign minister was saying a few days ago. Matter of fact, he was saying it yesterday. The Western media didn't pick it up. About how all of these things, all of these problems are a direct result of America and her arrogant policy, her short-sightedness of wanting to get a leg up regardless to whom or what. We're not willing to yield or to submit to rational thinking. This is what Lavrov was talking about, and he warned America. Man, you better come back to the table because the way you're doing it, we headed for nuclear war. Lavrov was talking about this in a live interview. And then the general chief of staff of the Russian army said we can defeat America in any confrontation. Listen to me good. I was trying not to put these in the premium articles, but I'm going to bring some more stuff up. But I have a lot of information about a great buildup in Europe right now. A lot of information that if I just sat down and talked to you, it probably would scare some of you people who are not endowed with wisdom of divine. There's a great military buildup underway in Europe in the Balkans and near the Caucasus. Remember, this is where the war starts and spreads in Europe. Things are becoming very unstable, and this is why America is pushing to listen. Let me put it like this. Because she's losing her sway, because she's losing her position, and because the debt tsunami is destroying her, and remember that America is the greatest pillar of Western or white power in the history of the world, right? That's why her partners are still riding with her, because they know when she loses, they lose. But the debt situation is such